Hello, readers. My name is Jason Jeffries, and I am your host for Bookin, presented by Quail Ridge Books, Raleigh, North Carolina's trusted community bookstore. My guests today are Lee Smith and Samia Saragadeen, and they are the editors of Mothers and Strangers, Essays on Motherhood from the New South, published by the University of North Carolina Press. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It is an honor to have you here. My first question for the two of you is about the subtitle to this book. What is the quote-unquote New South?
Well, I think the New South is a more inclusive concept, and it includes the people who live in the South, but maybe from other parts of the country or other parts of the world. And it takes us away from the binary of black and white and any stereotypes associated with the South. Wouldn't you say, Lee?
Yes, I would. And I think it's particularly important because this is a book about mothers. It is a book about women in the South. And I think the concept of the Southern lady, you know, certainly has been the bane of my existence. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, there's so many tropes and images and stereotypes associated with what we think of as the Old South. Not only the concept of the lady, but many concepts of behavior and ideas that dictated the lives, frankly, of particularly women. And we're running into these, our writers are, as they consider their own mothers and their mothers' lives and the choices that their mothers made or were unable in many cases to make. And so this is very much the New South. We are all women of the New South, but these ideas hang heavily over our heads.
Thank you very much. Lee, Samia, how did this collection come about?
Well, it came about from just a coincidence that that my mother and Margaret Rich's mother, Margaret is also in our anthology, died on the same day. And that coincidence set us thinking, and immediately, of course, I talked to Lee because she's my inspiration and nothing happens in the book world without Lee.
And this so is not true at all.
We all got together and talked, and we realized we're all at a stage in our lives where whether we've lost our mothers or contemplate their mortality and, by extension, our own mortality, that what did we really know about these women when they weren't being our mothers, before they were our mothers or even as individuals, but also in the context of their place, their time, whether that place was Virginia or whether that place was Cairo or whether that place was Depression era South, or whether it was revolution 1950s in Egypt or in other parts of the world, but mostly in the South, what did we really know about them in the context of their time and place? Did they fit in or did they stand out? And then we thought if we could speak to other writers and that they would all have their stories. And Lee knows everybody. She knows all the writers in the South.
Again, this is not true.
And we very soon, the wonderful thing, wasn't it, Lee, that it resonated with everybody.
Oh, no, yes.
Nobody
yes.
said
yes.
no.
Yes, absolutely. Nobody said no. And I think even for writers who had not a positive, you know, who had a difficult relationship with their mothers, they all still wanted to talk about their mothers because, you know, your mother, the person who is most intimately, birth is the most intimate, obviously, physical, you know, relationship you'll ever have with anyone. The mother, the person that raises you, that's where you learn language. That's where you first hear mm-hmm. speech. Mm-hmm. And so for writers, mm-hmm. this is a huge deal. And I think our relationships with our mothers are, by necessity, often complicated. Several books other books that have been written about mothers are entitled The Mother Knot, which mm-hmm. I think is very good, mm-hmm. or Nancy Friday's famous book, Our Mothers Ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we always have to kind of define ourselves by including against her, you know, against her within our mother and our mother's behavior and our mother's behavior toward us. And our, so anyway, it's so complicated that once you get, ask anybody this question, it's clear they have an essay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not just yes. a simple opinion, but probably an essay.
Mm-hmm. And also it makes us as writers examine the subjectivity of memory. How do we remember incidents about our mother growing up? How do we see them today? How do they match up to how we felt about them at the time? And in the family dynamics of the time, where did we align ourselves? With which parent? And would we revise that alignment today as adults, seeing things differently? And I think that was the challenge, this self-exploration through exploration of the mother that every one of our writers rose to so brilliantly.
And so differently.
And so differently.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so some of our writers had more negative impressions of their mothers, which is one reason that Samia came up with the brilliant title Mothers and Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some of our mothers were strangers to some of us. I mean, so there is that. So it just depended entirely upon the person.
Thank you. And may I ask, Lee, the book that you just mentioned, The Mother Knot, is that N-O-T or K-N-O-T?
K-N-O-T. Yes. But, and it's a wonderful image of the sorts of entanglements
mm-hmm.
that we have in our impressions of our mothers and our memories. And because also I think there is no relationship which is more has been more of a hallmark occasion, you know, and a more trite type of image than the Mother's Day, mm-hmm. the great commercial, mm-hmm. the great, mm-hmm. you know, the great commercial holiday. Mm-hmm. But you have these images of the perfect mother, the perfect mom, and there she is with her apron on, you know, baking biscuits, you know, and, you know, for all the children and whatever. And so there's so many of these, the devotion, all the things that we associate with this very traditional hallmark kind of American image of mom, which almost nobody has ever lived up to. My mother came kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, therefore, it's so complicated because we have to take our own real mothers and who were they and go against that you know huge American trope. I mean, the huge mm-hmm. American image of, you know, mom with her perm on, you know, mm-hmm. smiling and kissing the baby.
Thank you. The Mother Knot, K-N-O-T, reminds me of a book that's coming out in September by an author, Sarah Rose Etter, who I'll be interviewing in a couple of months. It's called The Book of X, and all of the women in the family are born with their bodies in an actual knot. That'll be an interesting one, so listen out for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Lee, in your foreword to this collection, you talk about your mother and her attempt to raise you as a proper Southern lady. Can you tell us a little bit about your mother?
My mother was so darling. I mean, she was. Here's her picture right here, but she is so darling. And she was from the eastern shore of Virginia, Chincoteague Island, as far away as possible from the rugged mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, where my father lived in the tiny coal mining town of Grundy, Virginia. And she met him at a wedding, some relative's wedding in Richmond, and they fell madly in love. And so she finally went and married him. And, of course, he could never leave the mountains, so they lived there in Grundy, where she taught home economics. And she had all these, you know, ideas of how to do things, like how to can food so it doesn't poison you, you know, and how to all sorts of things. A lot of what she was doing in home economics was almost like nursing. And practical, you know, just practical things that were health, you know, was like health type things at first. But anyway, she also, my mother was born in 1906. I was not born to my parents until very late in life when they thought they would never have any children. And they were just astonished and doted on me and spoiled me rotten. And Mama was determined to raise me as a lady. And that was not going too well. because I was part of a wild gang of, you know, mountain children who just ran the woods, you know, as my mother said, like little animals. Y'all are just like little animals. And so consequently, I was sent down to Birmingham, Alabama every summer for lady lessons to be administered by my Aunt Gay Gay, Mama's sister, in Birmingham. And it would be things like, you know, how to sit, don't cross your legs, you know, always wear clean underwear because you might be in a wreck. A lady always eats before the party so she doesn't have to chew her food in public. And I mean, just thing after thing after thing. Well, they didn't take, I'm afraid. But this was one of the central things of my, I didn't want to be, you know, I just didn't want to be a lady. Actually, I wanted to be a boy so I could be a pitcher. So I have all these very strong resonances with this whole thing. And I have to say, as I wrote here, that my mother was a fabulously, fabulously popular teacher. You know, so much so that when she died, having lived in the mountains for 55 years at her funeral, you know, it's the kind of funeral where different people stand up and talk. And one old man stood up and said, well, I went to school to Miss Jiggy. That was her name. I went to school to Miss Jiggy, and I have to say she was a wonderful woman for a foreigner. And my husband is punching me. He said, what do you mean foreigner? She lived here for 55 years. And I said, yeah, but she wasn't born here. So she was always a foreigner. Mm-hmm. And in thinking about this book, I realized how much that outside perspective. I hadn't even thought about this before mm-hmm. this book, how much that outside perspective was important to me, I think, in my ever becoming a writer. Because if you're in the middle of the story all the time, you don't see the story. Mm-hmm. But she was always saying, well, I just can't believe Mildred acts like that. Mm-hmm. Or why did they do such and such? Or, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that was very mm-hmm. important.
Thank you very much. Listeners, we're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. And then I will be right back with Lee Smith and Samia Saragadeen. The Book and Podcast is sponsored by Libro FM Audiobooks. Libro FM lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore, Quail Ridge Books. You can pick from more than 100,000 audiobooks, including New York Times bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers around the country. With Libro.fm, you'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there. You know the name. But you'll be part of a much different story, one that supports community. Listeners of Bookin' can get a 3-month audiobook membership for the price of one. Go to Libro.fm, that's Libro.fm, and enter Bookin', Bookin, in the promo code space. With each listen, take pride in knowing that you're supporting local bookstores. I am back with Lee Smith and Samia Saragadeen, editors of Mothers and Strangers, Essays on Motherhood from the New South. And Samia, I'm going to skip forward a bit in the book and bring up your essay now, and we'll come back to the beginning later. But your essay in section 6 of the collection, this section is titled Secrets and Lives, and your essay is titled The Curse of Living in Interesting Times. And Samia, this essay is sort of a ghost story, is it not?
There is that element. Mm-hmm. There is that element in it. But it's really about what it's like to live your life in a time of upheaval. And that was my mother's story. And she hadn't been raised to be prepared for that. She was raised in a very comfortable family. She married my father. It was an arranged marriage, as such marriages were in Egypt in the late 40s. They had for a while a very idyllic existence with servants and a very fine style of life. And then there was a revolution in 1952, very shortly after they married, and they lost everything because the land was confiscated, but everything else as well. Bank accounts were frozen. And suddenly this woman, who was young, she was 19 when she married, found herself forced to deal with very difficult circumstances, political persecution, a husband who could be taken away at any minute to a political prison. So uncertainty, difficult circumstances for which she'd not been trained. And she managed, she also managed, or thought she managed, to protect her children from the reality of what was going on around them, which, of course, was almost impossible, because you cannot be insensible to how suddenly overnight your entire life has changed. But even as a very young child, I colluded with my mother in that delusion, if you like, because I could see how important it was to her to feel that she was protecting her children. And that's why the title is, or that's why I put it in the section of secrets and lives, because like several of our essayists, that was my existence growing up. There was so much that was unsaid. There was so much whispering behind closed doors. There was always this sense of fear, of waiting for events, political events that you could not control. It was a very difficult growing up, but I now appreciate much more than I did when I was young what a difficult time my mother had trying to hold the family together, trying to be the emotional support for all of us going through this difficult time. And so in a way what I wrote, or in a way this essay and even the idea for the collection came as a way of paying homage to someone that I feel that growing up, perhaps, I didn't quite appreciate enough.
Thank you. Bell Boggs' essay, Beatrice and Mamie, may also be loosely described as a ghost story, but in a very interesting way. But back to your essay, Samia, I want to ask about a quote, which is actually about your father. The quote is, "Like many men with a deceptively long fuse, when he did lose his temper, the fireworks were to be reckoned with." Can you talk to us both about your father and the quality that you're attributing to men with long fuses?
Well, he was the most, in contrast to my mother, who you could say was somewhat volatile, and not prone to a great deal of self-examination, or so I thought before I read her journals. I have to be fair about that. She was much more self-aware than I gave her credit for. But she also lacked a certain sense of irony and so on. My father, on the other hand, was, although he was very young too when he married, but he was very mature. He was very, and he died when he was 50. So I knew him mostly as a relatively young man. He was very calm. He was very gentle. He had a sense of humor. We got along very, very well. And he was the gentlest of people. But we all knew that you did not want to provoke him. It was very, very rare. But when he did lose his temper, let's just say, I don't know what it was like, because none of us ever let it get to that point with him.
sounds so, like a good idea.
Yes, yes, because we just knew that it took a lot to make him lose his temper, so you really didn't want to push things that far. But I think probably earlier in his marriage, again, judging from my mother's journals, she may have tested that limit a few times. And I'm sure she got the better of him, because, as I said, he was the gentlest of men.
Hello, listeners. There is a lot of this interview left, but we are going to save it for next week for a special longer edition of Bookin'. I would like to thank Lee Smith and Samia Saragadeen for joining me. Copies of Mothers and Strangers can be purchased in-store at Quail Ridge Books or online at www.quailridgebooks.com. Our sponsor is Libro.fm Audiobooks. Please navigate over to Libro.fm and enter the promo code BOOKIN in the code space, that's B-O-O-K-I-N, to get 3 months of audiobooks for the price of one. My name is Jason Jefferies, and this has been Bookin'.